Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio. I'm Laura Peterson from Your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty. And to discuss the sale of your home, you can call or text 407-566-2555. That's 407-566-2555. So lots of great stuff to talk about today. And first of all, I'm going to start out with the stats in regards to what's going on. And this is from May 5th to the 11th. And there were single family homes were 427 that sold last week, down from 538 the week before. Now, the week before was actually the end of the month. And so as a result of that, it always goes higher. But the median price of the single family homes went to $430,000, which was a 1% increase from the week before. When you're looking at that, 30 of them were under 250, 27 between 250 and 300, 116 between 300 and 400, 104 between 400 and 500, 130 between 500 and a million, and 20 over a million. Now, when you're looking at the months of inventory, we're looking at 3.36 overall, and it's like 2 months that we have for the under 250 and the 250 to 300 and the 300 to 400 and the 400 to 500. And then when you get 500 to a million, we're at 4.18, and over a million, you're at 8.48. When you're looking at the list to ask price, we're at 97.25 overall. Under 250 at 93.27, then you're pretty close to 98 all the way across the board until you get to over a million, and then we were at 94.68. The days to contract is currently at 54. So when you're looking at the condos, townhomes, and villas, there were 133 that sold last week. That was 180 the week before, and the price median price is 286. So still holding a really strong deal where they are real strong prices when it comes to condos, townhomes, and villas. So of those 133, 46 of them sold under 250, 24 between 250 and 300, 300 to 400 had 35, 15 between 400 and 500, 500 to a million, there was 11, and over 2 million, there were actually two that sold last week. So when you're looking at the inventory overall there, it's kind of the opposite of the single family homes. There's more inventory on the lower end than there is on the higher end. So on the lower end, overall it's 5.45, and there's over 5 months of inventory all the way up to a million, and then the million only has 2 months of inventory with two of them selling. There's 19 of them on the market, and is basically what the scoop is there. Now, the list to ask price is 97.29, in the 98s all the way across the board, unless you're under 250, which was at 96.82, and over 250 is at 91.79. And the days on the market for them are 69. So a little bit longer when it comes to the condos, townhomes, and villas in regards to what's going on with them and how long they're sitting on the market and all of that, which just kind of makes sense because there's more fees and that kind of stuff involved with them. So it just depends on what people are looking for, but there are properties in every price range that are out there. The ones that are under 250 generally need a lot of work. The ones over a million, there, since there are more choices and that kind of stuff out there, there's usually a lot more negotiating value and everything that happens with them. So the other figures that came out this week are basically the whole month of April, and what happened, what we're going to do there is compare that to the month of April in 2023. So 2024 to 2023 is what we're going to be looking at here. So one thing in 2023, the average interest rate was 6.41. In April of 2024, it was 6.91. So, about a half a point different. So not a whole lot in the big scheme of things, but that's what the scoop was there. The inventory is a huge difference. There was 5,148 properties on the market in April of 2023. in April of 2024, there's 9,476. So it's almost doubled. It hasn't doubled, but almost doubled. There's quite a big change there. So that's something that definitely is out there. So the fact that the days on the market is staying very similar. In April of 2023 was 52 and April of 24 was 54. So it was only 2 days difference, but the inventory levels are a lot bigger and the number of sold homes is very similar as well. The number of sold homes in April of 2023 was 2766 and the number of sold homes in 2024 was 2759. So only a difference of 7 homes less sold in 2024 than in 2023 in April. So I found that really interesting. So the months of inventory overall and in April of 2023 was 1.86. In April of 24 is 3.4. So a normal market is generally between 4 and 6. So we're actually heading to a normal market in regards to the number of houses that are on the market. But the bottom line is that we're still looking at a very balanced market when it comes to all of that. Like I said, the number of sold homes, 2766 versus 2759, pretty much a dead heat when it comes to that. And some really good news I thought was going on is that there actually was an increase year over year in both the median price and the average price. So the median price, and this is townhomes, condos, and houses and everything all together. When I give the stats at the beginning of the show every week in regards to what happened in the week, we break it down into houses or other residential properties like condos, townhomes, and villas. And so basically, there's quite a bit of difference in regards to, pricing and that kind of stuff and what's going on there. But this is everything all lumped together when we're looking at the full month. So the median price went from 370 to 386.5, which was a 7.1% increase. Now, the interesting thing that I was looking at is I went back and looked at from October to now, we've had a significant appreciation of the properties like that. So we're at 7.1% now. Basically, it was like at 5% last month and that kind of stuff in the median price. And the median price is what we're always looking at. So I honestly think that we're out of or coming out of basically, where we were at in regards to what was happening in regards to everything staying consistent, and we've started heading up a little bit. When the interest rates went down, what happened is that the market stabilized. And if you look at overall in the U.S., there are some areas of the country that the prices went down. And so overall, it looks like the prices went down. They didn't do that in Central Florida. They stayed the same. And now we're finally, 2 years later, starting to head up a little bit. So the median price, like I said, went up 7.1% from 370 to 386.5. And the average price also went up, and that went from 443 to 475. So I think I've got these two numbers mixed up here. So the median price went up 5%. The average price went up 7.1%. So we're always looking at the median price. So 5% overall is basically what happened. So I thought that that was really good for everybody and where we're at and what we want to accomplish. So in order to get in touch with us, you can call or text 407-566-2555. You can find us online at centralfloridarealestateradio.com, and we'll see you after the break. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Laura Peterson, your host of Central Florida Real Estate Radio. I'm from Your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty, and to discuss the sale of your home, you can call or text 407-566-2555. That's 407-566-2555. So, you know, basically looking at the stats, which I do always in that first segment, and looking at where we're at and everything like that, is that the market is starting to head up a little bit. The interest rates have stabilized. And like I talked about last week a little bit, is that the interest rates at 7% are really kind of, you know, where they've been forever in decades and stuff. I mean, basically, that one decade of the 2010s is that they were more in the fours, and in the 20s, they were a little bit in the threes and stuff like that, and then headed up to the sevens. But when you're looking at the 70s, they were from 7 to 9. The 80s were from 10 to 18%. The 90s were from 7 to 9%. The 2000s were from 5 to 8%. The 2010s, like I said, were in the fours. The 20s were in the threes to the high sevens is where they were at. So right now, they're right around seven. And I just saw something that they came down a little bit. Not sure exactly what they came down, probably in the high sixes is where they were at. But basically what it comes down to, you know, is it right for you to buy a house and looking at where you want to be? And so one of the studies, since 1980, the average annual rent increase has been 8.86%. How crazy is that? 8.86%. So if you've been renting since 1980, which probably a lot of you have not been since 1980, but since that point in time, they've gone up 8.86%. The houses have appreciated 4.62%. So what a great thing for investors to really look at since 1992 is when that's happened, 4.62 overall since 1992. And that includes when everything, you know, went down in the 2008 to 10 and that kind of stuff, or 6 to 10, that basically during that time frame where we had some really tough times in Central Florida, that still overall every year 4.62 is what it is looked at. They also found in the study that U.S. homeowners have a net worth of 40 times greater than renters, 40 times. So it makes sense to purchase. I think it might be a struggle. I know when I bought my first property, it was a struggle for a couple of months because I was getting used to the payments and being a homeowner and all of that kind of thing. And it really wasn't a big struggle, but I did stretch myself a little bit to get the property that I wanted. At the time, I lived in Chicago, and I wanted to have a condo on Lake Michigan. So I wanted to be on the lake. So I did stretch myself a little bit to get something that was kind of at the top of my budget, because that's what I wanted to have. I mean, I was on the 21st floor, and I had a great view of the lake and a great city view at the same time. So that place was, you know, my dream at that point in time, what I wanted to have and did. And so it was a little bit of a struggle because I could have bought something a little bit cheaper, but it wouldn't have been everything of what I wanted. So, you know, you don't always get that the first time out. I mean, I probably would have been happier. I know I would have been happier if I had had another bedroom or two than what I had, but it basically got me to have that lifestyle of what I, you know, wanted to have at that particular point in time. And, you know, living in Chicago when it was, you know, winter time and all of that kind of thing. And I had the privilege of actually parking my car underneath the building. So I would just pull in, pull out. It was warm underneath there. I didn't have to worry about shoveling snow. And I was thankful every day for that. So I did stretch myself on that. And you don't have to do that when you're purchasing a new home, but it is a stepping stone. And then, you know, when I moved to Florida, you know, what I did is I sold that property and I bought a 4-bedroom house with a pool down here. So, you know, basically that one condo was the same price as basically my 4-bedroom house with a pool down here in Central Florida. So it was a great swap for me at that point in time and everything in regards to what I wanted to do. So basically, you know, you really have to look at, you know, what is the best situation for you? Where do you want to be a year from now? But as I started out, U.S. homeowners have a net worth of 40 times greater than renters. So whether you're a first-time buyer or moving to a different location or an investor, now is a great time to buy before everybody realizes that prices are on the move again and there's all that competition out there with buyers and everything like that too. Now, we do specialize a lot in finding those off-market properties, so you're not going to be competing on an off-market property with all of the other buyers and everything out there, but with the market heading up, then that's, you know, not big, just 5% in a year, but that's a normal growth at 4.62 since 1992 in the U.S. So, you know, but let's just look at that. If you're an investor and you bought a property in 1992, let's just say that, we said that the rents have been going up 8.86% every year, you know, since the 80s. So, and the appreciation on your property is 4.62. So you're going to be getting more rent, you know, and the increase in value on the property. So it's a completely win-win situation. And, you know, one plan that we've talked about many times, but is a great plan out there for people, is that if you would actually go out there and purchase a property every year and get somebody to pay for it by them being the renter and paying your bills for you, have a positive cash flow on it. And there definitely are those properties out there that you can do that on. And then, so you did that, say, for 20 years. So at the end of 20 years, you would own 20 houses, right? And so you could continue to do that, do another 10 years if you wanted to, and then you'd have 30 houses. And then for the next 30 years, what you could do is you could sell one house a year that would be paid off because you would have had your renters, you know, paying off your mortgage and everything on that. And so that would be paid off and you would have that money, extra money to live on. So you would be quite wealthy in regards to and living pretty well in your retirement. And it's a great retirement plan. And so we have lots of ways that people can go ahead and do that if that's something that's of interest to you. But it just shows, you know, why there are so many investors and everything, you know, out there and why real estate is a big deal for them. Now, there was a study that came out a couple of days ago, and it said that investor home purchases hit a two-year high point. So investors account for 19% of all the houses sold in the first quarter. And this is all, again, all over the U.S. And they've come off the sidelines faster than individual buyers. So if the investors are coming out there purchasing homes, then you know that there's money into it. If Wall Street's out there doing it, which is who they're talking about, there's a lot of individual investors and everything as well. But there's a lot of big investors that are out there investing in single family homes and everything as well. And one of the things, if as you drive around Central Florida, if you look and everything, you know, there are a lot more communities out there. I mean, I talked about it a few years ago that they were coming, that there are rental home communities. So what happens is that the investors go in there and they buy a whole community and they make it 100% rental. And some of them don't have garages for those. They're individual houses, so they're not apartments, but they're individual houses and they're whole communities that are individual houses. So that's just one thing that investors are buying. You know, what the investors are buying is more single family homes than before. That's kind of their cup of tea, that they like those. The other thing that they're doing is they're buying more expensive homes than before. The purchases of high priced homes jumped 10.5% year over year in the first quarter. So that's the first increase in nearly 2 years. So investor purchases at mid-priced homes grows 4.7%, and that's the first increase in nearly 2 years. And low-priced homes fell 6.5%. So it comes down to that they're actually purchasing more homes. So I'll talk about a little bit more about this after the break. But in order to get in touch with us, you can call or text 407-566-2555. You can find us online at CentralFloridaRealEstateRadio.com, and we'll see you after the break. Welcome back. I'm Laura Peterson, your host of Central Florida Real Estate Radio. I'm from Your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty, and to discuss the sale of your home, you can call or text 407-566-2555. That's 407-566-2555. So one of the things that we were talking about is that investors are buying more single-family homes than before, and that rose 3.9% year over year in the first quarter. And we talked that they are buying more expensive homes, but they're also buying a record 26% of America's most affordable homes. So, you know, basically when it comes down to it, so that's over a quarter, you know, not too much over a quarter, but a little bit, 26%. So when you're looking at that and thinking about that, basically that makes it harder for the first time buyer. They're competing against a cash offer. Now, I've said many times, and I think that real estate, if you look at it 10 years from now, what will it look like? And I think that there will be more and more investors that'll be in the middle of a lot of these transactions. And when you look at, I think that's the trend in regards to where we're going, because I think a lot of sellers want certainty. And so in order to get that certainty, what they have to do is they're selling to these investors that are going to pay cash for their home now, and they can move on, and they know for sure that it's going to happen. They're not at the mercy of somebody's loan not going through or inspections and all kinds of things that could cause the deal to go wrong. So it's a benefit for the seller a lot of times to sell to these companies. And so that's what they're doing. I mean, it's just kind of like the same when you're selling your car, you're getting a new car. Many times most people take their car to the dealer, turn it in, and get another car. They don't try to sell it themselves. And a lot of times those cars, the dealers, and it used to be that the dealers would sell the cars that came in, and that would go to their used car lots, but they're not even doing that anymore. They're taking them to the auction and selling them at auction to the kind of car dealer that wants that kind of car. And then they're picking up the ones to put on their used car lot that match what their criteria is that they're looking for on the car lot. So they're not just having the ones that just happen to come in. And so it's much more intentional. It's much more, streamlined and all of that kind of stuff in regards to what happens. And I do see that housing is kind of heading in that direction as well. And so basically, you know, we work with on our cash offer program that anybody can get a cash offer on any home in the U.S., you know, basically through us on our cash offer platform, which there's over 60 investors that are on there right now. We're soon going to be to the point where we can put individual investors on there, like local investors, but right now they're more nationwide and everything. And they don't all have the same buy criteria, so you don't get 60 offers, but you're going to get at least 3 or 4 or 5, you know, offers on your home if you want to get that. And they're very competitive. They're at market value. Most of them have a small fee ranging somewhere from 3 to 6%. So you're going to, you know, pay that fee, but you're going to get full market value. And many of them, you know, are kind of flipping them, but they're taking the risk, you know, on it, you know, with you and everything. And if it sells for more than what they told you the value was, then that money is actually going back to you. So it's really a great system, in my opinion, in regards to what's going on. And that program is only available through Your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty. We're the only ones that have it. So, you know, we're kind of very excited that we do have that. But it does give us the opportunity to get a cash offer on any property. So if your property even is listed with another agent right now and you'd like a cash offer on your property, you know, you can let us know. We'll work with your agent and give it to them and everything like that. But basically, you know, we're able to do that for, like I said, anywhere in the U.S. that we can actually get an offer on home and multiple offers on homes. And there's a lot of opportunities and that kind of thing out there for people. But I do think that long term, if I am looking at 10 years out, that I see that even more of that happening. So the fact that investors are buying, you know, a quarter of the lower end homes that are out there is not surprising to me. And when you look at what I talked about earlier today, that basically the rental rate has increased year over year since 1980 at 8.86% on average year over year. 8.86. So how crazy is that? I mean, that just seems very, very high to me that it's going that high. The appreciation on houses at that 4.92. So, you know, if you do not rent and you buy, you're going to lock in that price of what you're going to pay. You're not going to have that 8.86 or whatever increase every year. So that's going to stop, number one. And number two, the next thing that's going to happen is that your asset is going up 4.62, I believe. I don't remember off the top of my head exactly, or 4.92. It's going up, you know, almost 5% a year since 1992 is basically what's happened, you know, with the price of homes. So you're getting, you're not only leveling out your payment, but then in addition to that, you're also getting, you know, an appreciation on your asset. So it ends up being a beautiful thing, home ownership, or, you know, that's great for investors too, you know, because investors, you're locking the property in at this price, and then the rents, the amount that you're getting on that property is going up year over year over year. So there you're getting a higher return on your investment because that investment didn't cost you, you know, what it's going for now. And that payment is locked in and everything as well. Your taxes vary a little bit, but outside of that, you're going to keep, you know, a very similar payment and everything. So it ends up being a win-win situation, regardless of the way that you look at it, in my opinion, to, you know, to own a home. And so whether you're an investor or whether you're just going to have it for your family, you know, it makes sense to buy a home. And it's a long-term play for the most part. I mean, the only ones that lose probably on the deal is if you move in less than a couple of years. And with our prices being stagnant for the last couple of years, I know a couple of people that are in that situation, and the prices went up 5%. So they're going to have to come to the table with a little bit of money, but it might be just a couple thousand. So really not a lot in the big scheme of things. And that probably would have, that $2,000 probably would have been eaten up in the increase in rent if they were renting somewhere. So you've got to look at the whole big picture in regards to where do you want to be? Where do you want to be living? You know, what's the best situation for you, and what would be, you know, your win-win situation when it comes right down to it. And so the thing that I think is good for everybody to look at is to look at your particular situation and figure out what it is. Now, we have calculators that we can go through with you that are rent versus own calculators that will show you the difference. But as I mentioned earlier in the show, that people that own homes are 40 times, their net worth is 40 times more than people that rent. And so just that fact alone is to me a reason why people should buy houses, and you know, why I love helping them do that and build their wealth. And I like helping investors, you know, find that perfect property that works for them as well. And so it just ends up being a win-win situation all the way across the board, which is what we're in for. So if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can call or text 407-566-2555. You can find us online at CentralFloridaRealEstateRadio.com, and we'll see you after the break. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Laura Peterson, your host of Central Florida Real Estate Radio. I'm from Your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty, and to discuss the sale of your home, you can call or text 407-566-2555. That's 407-566-2555. So, you know, I was talking to some people last week that actually they're looking at purchasing some land and building on it and all of that kind of stuff. And people think that it's really, really easy to do and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, basically when you look at it, there's pluses and minuses to everything, as I'm sure you're aware. But, you know, a lot of people look at that they want to have that perfect parcel of land and they want to go ahead and do it. Now, the thing that I want to tell everybody is that I think that there's a lot of things to consider when you come to purchasing land. And so we're going to talk, you know, a little bit about that when it comes down to it. So the first thing when you're searching for a plot of land, you know, you might want to use online maps to look at the scope out the wider areas and see what's out there. And basically, you got to research in regards to look at what's going on. So if a property does have, you know, trees and that kind of stuff on it or anything, you know, it's like you've got to look at that because there is a cost that comes to actually clearing the land. Obviously, I know there's a lot of things that you can do, but then you have to make sure that there are not any things that would prevent you from clearing the land. For example, if the property are wetlands. And I know that, you know, we've run into that several times where somebody just went ahead and they bought a piece of land and then they come back to us later and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, I just found out that this one's got wetlands on it. I can't do what I want to. And so what am I going to do? And there are ways that they call mitigating it to potentially move that wetlands to another place. In some cases, you can do that. In some cases, you can't. And then, you know, so there's a lot of situations out there that you need to, you know, look at when it comes down to it. You know, you want to look at what a survey, you know, what you can do on there. Are there setbacks? Are there easements? Are there other things on there that might make it prohibitive for you to do what you want to do? So the setbacks are basically, you know, done by the city or the county that say how far in or whatever where you can build. Like you can't build within 10 feet, 20 feet, 30 feet, you know, depending on what the property might be. You know, it might be 30 feet from water, it might be 30 feet from the front of the property, might be community guidelines, you know, all kinds of things that come into play. So you really need to do your homework to make sure that you've got the right situation out there for that. The other thing that comes into play that you need to make sure that, you know, that it doesn't, that it has, that they do the soil and samples and stuff like that to make sure that the soil is such that you can build on it and that it's not going to cost you an exorbitant amount of money to prepare that lot. Is it in a flood zone? And if so, you know, how much is it going to cost to build up the land so it's outside of a flood zone? You know, I joke with a lot of people that there was that old joke that's been around forever that people bought a piece of swampland in Florida. And as you guys know, a lot of the area here all was swampland. But what they did is they realized how to develop it and how to build it and everything. So it's no longer swampland. So they have to keep a lot of the wetlands, which is why you have to make sure there's no wetlands. There's got to be those out there that are preserved and everything. And, you know, they build a lot of times when a new builder today is putting a property out there, is they're building the land up so it's not in a flood zone. So you don't have to have that flood insurance for that reason because it's so low. And I know I was talking to a realtor a few years ago in the Naples area right after the hurricane came through and, you know, devastated everything down there. And one of the things that she was telling me about down there is that if the property is over 50% damaged, which is anywhere with insurance, that you have to rebuild to the new codes. Okay. So that's what the requirements are. So the challenge with a lot of these properties that were in Naples is that now the code is that they have to be, you know, I think it was like 4 feet or something. I don't know what the exact figure was, that they had to be that above a certain, you know, I don't know if it was sea level or if it was 4 feet, something that they had to be height. And so that was your base. So any new house that's being built today in that area has that base. Well, a lot of the houses that flooded and that were in trouble and everything there in that area because the hurricane came through and was quite devastational and everything was at that those houses were built 4 feet below where they needed to be. And they were over 50%, ruined from the hurricane. So that meant that those properties needed to be pretty much torn down because they had to come up to the new code and build up the foundation 4 feet. So, knowing what you're going to have to do, which obviously if it's a blank piece of land, that's not going to be near as expensive as if there's a house already on it and everything. But that's something that you want to make sure that you check. And so a lot of times when somebody's buying land, they do have a feasibility study time, which is all your time to figure out if you can do what you wanted to do on that particular lot. Clear out what you want to, make sure that there's not any wetlands on there. Making sure that it's, not in a flood zone, so there's a lot of things that go into it. And then another thing that really is important to know out there is, what are the utility hookups in that particular area? If they're not there, that can be really expensive. I was talking to the same gentleman a couple of days ago, and what he was telling me is that he was looking at this piece of land that he had looked at several years earlier. And what he realized is that now is that it has electricity. Somebody put electricity in that area. And when he was looking at it several years ago, that it wasn't there. And so he was going to have to put it in, and it was going to cost $25,000 just to get electricity to that area. But now it's there. So he was looking at, wow, that's $25,000 less that I don't have to spend in building my property there if that's what I choose to do. So basically, when you're looking at it, it's like you need, there's basically your homework that you need to do. For every county, there are impact fees that if there's not a dwelling on the property now, you're going to have to put pay the impact fees. And the impact fees are such that they go to the county. They are for property that, for the infrastructure, for the police, for the fire, for the schools, for the parks, and all of those kinds of things. And that ends up being several thousand too. So you want to work with a builder that can walk you through all these things. I mean, some people do it on their own, but you definitely have to have knowledge in order to do all of that. So we're getting towards the end of the show here. So it's time to talk about our house of the week. And since we were talking about a lot of investments, I just want to talk about a short-term rental home that's available right now. It's on the market for $699. And it's bringing in $85,000 a year. And that's with the short-term rental community. So it's got all the bookings. It's got everything all laid out. So you're really buying a business. And so I just wanted to throw that one out there as a good situation for somebody. If you're interested, just give us a call and we'll go from there. But we're out of time for today. So in order to get in touch with us, you can call or text 407-566-2555. You can find us online at Central Florida Real Estate Radio.com, and we'll see you next week. Have a great one, everybody. Bye-bye.